Chapter 20.
Asrenayev!
I growled at the enormous being in front of us, and my hand flew to the Rhine dagger sheathed at my side.
I was wondering when you were going to crawl up and grace us with your presence. I was beginning to think you were too much of a coward to face me. I will relish in your demise and gorge myself on your blood, the demon hissed as its tentacles writhed. I didn't come here to meet my doom, I growled. I'm here to deliver you to yours. You can try,
Asrenayev roared, and its many yellow eyes glowed like beacons. The way it blinked at several different intervals was unnerving, but I didn't allow myself to be too startled by the demon. I didn't want it to think it had any advantage other than size, which had never held me back before anyway. I'd fought up against an entire herd of Karth's mega-sized monsters on multiple occasions, along with a Belial, a Gandor, and a Cyclops. Though the demon was immense, I wasn't going to let its stature stop me. However, my confidence waned mere seconds later. The ground below my feet began to tremble, and I straightened my stance to keep my knees from buckling. My first thought fell to the Arkans, and I whipped around to face them.
Griff, what's happening?
Karth demanded as she clung for dear life onto one of Huna's mist wolves.
I don't know,
I called out, and I nearly lost my footing as I hustled over to the trio of goddesses and the small group of iridescent monsters. As the ground continued to quake, a mass of dark red dirt began to kick up and add to the overall haziness of the field. I thanked my past self for having the foresight to throw on my helmet, but the Arkans and the Mistwolves began to cough as the dust came our way. I thought fast on my feet, reached into my bandolier, retrieved a set of essence crystals, and slammed them to the ground. My Wallardins appeared when the smoke cleared, and I turned to face them with immediacy behind my movements.
Cover them! I commanded the supplemental monsters. Don't let the dust through your blockade!
The Wallardins let out sounds of agreement, and they immediately formed a shield of sorts around the Arkans, so the dust couldn't continue to assault them.
Thank you, Master.
Keela thanked me in a grateful tone. I replied with the briefest of nods, but out of the corner of my eye, I spotted the source of the earthquake. A host of translucent, tentacle-shaped shadows began to rise from the surface of the moon and trailed up into the air. I watched in awe as they twisted and pulsed, and before I knew it, the shadows began to shift into a much different shape. What was once tentacles solidified until they had the appearance of armored knights, only with horns and spikes that stemmed from their shoulders and spines. The shadow beings extended their right arms in unison, and streams of translucent gray flew from their palms and formed various weapons like swords, lances, and spiked maces.
Maker,
I whispered, and despite my earlier confidence, I found myself at a loss for words. The demon had manifested itself into an entire army of humanoid monsters.
Your maker cannot save you now,
Asrenaeth's voice mocked me cruelly. I shook my head at the demon and its extensions. I don't know how many times I have to tell you that you don't scare me, even with this little illusion army. Before Asrenaeth could get another word in, I reached through the bonds of my monsters until I reached the Barroker, and I borrowed the flame magic that usually coated his armor and sword, like an additional shield, and used it to meld a weapon of my own. Instead of just a coating, I wielded a broadsword made entirely of blue flame, and despite how strongly it blazed, it couldn't burn me. The demon didn't even have time to react before I drew back my weapon, and then used the momentum of my step to shift forward and drive my new sword straight into one of its shadowy knights. The demon's minion let out a roar as my sword sliced through its shoulder all the way down to its torso, and when I retracted my blade, a thick burst of dust flew right at me, like a blood splatter would normally do, had my opponent been human.
Take that!
I growled, but before I could celebrate my strike, the Shadow Knight's shoulder repaired itself as if I hadn't hit it at all. The being cocked its head in an unnatural way and raised a shadowy sword above its head, and when it swung the blade in my direction, I had to duck under it to keep it from colliding with the side of my face. The maneuver sent me rolling to the ground, and after I took a quick second to catch my breath, I sprang up, knocked my sword right into the shadow minion's neck, and watched with sick glee as the creature's head lobbed off. The monster's body crumpled to the ground and exploded into dust, and the rest of the shadow minions seemed hesitant to meet the same fate. Then, after I kicked the pile with my boot, I turned to the Arkans.
"Griff, what do we do?"
Karth asked me, and the way her eyes flashed and her lower lip trembled reminded me of the face I'd seen on my mortal lovers on many an occasion. I'd never seen the Horned Arkan so vulnerable, and while it meant a lot that she'd started to open herself up to me, her fear pained me. "Summon all of your monsters," I directed her as I sized up our massive shadowy opponents. "Something tells me we're going to need as many beasts on our side as possible if we want to knock through all of the demon's minions."
"Got it."
The green-skinned goddess nodded firmly when she collected herself, and with a wave of her hand, the dust-ridden air around us began to shimmer like it did when Sarah used her magic to create a portal. Huna and Keela followed their sister's lead, and when the Arkans lowered their arms back down to their sides, their minions appeared before us. Meanwhile, I decided we needed more summons and more magical power if we wanted to stand a chance. So I reached into my mind and undid all of the bindings that kept the rest of the Arkans locked away. This was an all-hands-on-deck situation, and I needed all of the help I could possibly get to defeat this ancient being. My entire body tingled as the Arkan's marks left my skin. For a moment, I got lost in the overwhelming sensation, but when it passed, I found myself surrounded by all 9 of the monster goddesses. Sheer determination filled me instead. My lovers wore similar expressions of battle lust, especially Utuni, Fi, and Viopa, who seemed more than eager to fight the Shadow Knights when they stepped up to join us. Even Sarah's eyes smoldered with determination, and for a moment, I nearly forgot my raven-haired lover had been weakened by our last teleportation maneuver.
"Sarah, are you—"
"Xanrath has healed me back to almost full power,"
Sarah interjected, and her tone was so strong and confident. I knew she wasn't lying or attempting to downplay her wounds.
"I don't know if I have enough magic to transport you back to Mistral this second, but I certainly have enough to summon my monsters forth and wield them in battle."
"She's correct,"
Xan spoke up, and her azure flame wings blazed behind her.
"Sarah has been restored, Griff."
I took a moment to assess the situation, but I knew the goddesses spoke the truth. We needed all of the help we could muster, so I put my faith in Xan's magic and nodded my head.
"Summon your monsters," I instructed them. "Call them forth and prepare them for battle."
The remaining Arkans did as their sisters did before them, without hesitation, and the beautiful goddesses created a windstorm of their own as their own summons manifested in the clearing. Among them were some of the monsters I'd battled myself before capturing the Arkans in my consciousness, and an involuntary scowl formed as I caught sight of my least favorites of the bunch. Keela's monster, a horrifying being called a Regarret, easily topped that list. Just as Azraneth's form was made entirely of tentacles and glowing eyeballs, the Regarret was a mass of rats, each the size of a domestic cat, all in various stages of decay, and interconnected by their tails and entrails. A chorus of squeaks and hisses streamed forth from Keela's creature, and I made sure to tune out the sound. Regarret's main ability was similar to Xan's harpy. It was able to hypnotize its victims with the magical quality of its voice. Another summons I spied was the skinless monster that belonged to Karth, and I didn't allow my eyes to linger on the pink and red creature for very long. The thing made me cringe far too much, and I needed all the focus I could muster. My disdain for the goddess's summons didn't linger long when I spotted Xan's lunicorn, a beautiful unicorn-like monster whose hide shimmered like starlight. I had a particular fondness for the horned horse, and so did the azure-winged goddess who mounted the monster as soon as it appeared.
Now what, master?
Fi wondered as she stroked the back of her azure hoprog. The featured neon-blue creature was poisonous to the touch, but the toxins didn't affect the angelic Arkan.
We split off and take on the army, I replied simply. Do whatever you must to fend them off.
Excellent.
Viopa licked her lips, and her swarm of bat-like monsters known as Gnarmongers circled above her and awaited orders from their succubus mistress. Her yellow octopus monster, the Octarion, flailed its limbs in response, as if it were ready to attack at any moment.
We're ready,
Huna declared from within her pack of mist wolves, and the iridescent monsters let out a collective howl that brought a smile to my face.
As are we,
Utuni declared from the back of her hydra.
Then let's go, I determined, and without any further hesitation, I threw out some of my strongest essence crystals and summoned forth some of my most powerful monsters. My Baroker, Belial, and Quartzreal appeared, and each let out fearsome battle cries as they manifested themselves in the clearing.
You've brought me playmates,
Azraneth taunted me as its many eyes fell upon my summons.
Viopa, I need you to use your magic to enhance their size.
I ignored the demon's jabs and addressed the goddess.
Make them all the same height as the Quartzreal.
As you wish,
Viopa agreed, and with a wave of her hand, my summons began to stretch in the air. They were the most physically imposing of my monsters, but Azraneth's immense figure warranted larger monsters. I would send my summons to go after the demon while the rest of us dealt with the army below, so I needed my creatures to at least have a height advantage. I also distributed my Bullet Bass's armor to the trio, and soon each glinted with a silver protective coating. When Viopa's magic finished, my creatures were hundreds of feet tall and ready to take on whatever came their way.
Excellent, I muttered, and then I addressed my monsters. Keep the demon occupied at all costs. Don't let it take you. Give it all you've got.
The trio let out another battle screech, and then the immense monsters ran forth toward Azraneth. While their thunderous steps shook the ground, I turned to the Arkans and waved my arm above my head to signal them. They picked up on my intentions instantly, and we descended upon the horde.
Go forth and attack, my children,
Miralee shouted, and the jaguar Arkans Hisane and Thimbletramp scurried forth toward a cluster of Azraneth's tentacle minions at full speed. The Shadow Knights weren't prepared for the sudden movement, and I watched with glee as the Thimbletramp unhinged its sharp-toothed maw and swallowed a pair of them whole.
Griff, do not worry about us,
Utuni hissed as her blood-red eyes darted over to an incoming black tentacle.
Go ahead and deal with the demon and allow us to worry about the rest.
I raised my flaming broadsword once more and threw myself right into the fray. I swung my blade with reckless abandon, and I knocked through a cluster of the demon's army with finesse. I needed to fight my way forward, so I threw my all into the fight. The Shadow Knights were brutal, but not as nearly as brutal as me, and I managed to hold my own. The Arkan's various monsters seemed to be working at full capacity themselves. It was admittedly difficult to avoid getting trampled by some of the monsters, but I admired the way the goddesses battled against Azraneth. Karth's mega-sized monsters bulldozed over a cluster, and out of the corner of my eye I spied yet another set of shadow minions getting absorbed into the Rigaret's hissing mass. The Arkans seemed to have everything under control, so I let them do what needed to be done and focused on my own efforts. As I crossed the clearing and headed toward the demon, I realized the shadow army was meant to distract me and keep me away from the heart of the ancient being. It was a clever move, really, but the shadow creatures we'd spent so much time defeating weren't the true monsters. If my hypothesis was correct, I needed to go after Azraneth directly and attack the monster at its very core. I took off into a dead sprint and borrowed my speed slug's magical ability to enhance my acceleration. And the still-active bullet bass coating kept me protected from any passing graces from the demon's appendages. It took great skill to weave around the tentacles and minions, but I borrowed my Vinghun's enhanced vision, and it allowed me to focus on the openings within the throng. I also decided to equip my body with the deadly spikes of my Mariporx corkscrew tail, and the venom that accompanied it. And once I felt my mana flex and adapt to the new abilities, I diverted from the original plan and made it a point to brush shoulders with any knight in my path. The minions hissed in pain with every swipe and encounter with my summon's barbs, and I relished in the sounds of their frustrated cries. "Just try to catch me," I taunted a set of knights, and as Renaeth's summons attempted to take me up on that offer, but none was fast enough to catch me, at least for a little while. The adrenaline of my rapid attacks made my heart practically pound in my ears, and soon I accidentally forgot my original mission to go after the demon's body. I tangled with as many knights as I could, at least until I caught sight of Sarah on her snapdarner and remembered my mission. I knocked through the swarm I'd already been fighting, and once they were out of my way, I returned to my original plan.
"Be careful, Griff!"
Sarah urged me from at least 30 feet above my head, and her dragonfly-like monster beat its iridescent wings as it hovered in place.
"The closer you get, the more danger is possible."
"I'll be just fine," I assured her, but I knew there was plenty of truth to her words. The speed slug's quickness and the Mariporx's barbs were particularly helpful, but if I didn't make it to the demon's heart, Mistral would be consumed entirely. I shifted my attention back to Azraneath, and anger flooded through me as I watched its many eyes blink and its tentacled body writhe. Each spindly appendage quivered and pulsed, and when I followed one tentacle's span in particular, I realized it belonged to the portion of its body that was latched to my world. The movements were a result of it feeding off the life on the planet, and the effort made my blood boil. I couldn't let the ancient being feed any further. The tentacles, I realized. They have to be severed before I can go after the heart. However, that plan presented yet another problem. My friends and lovers were still fighting off the shadow boars. There was no telling where they were located in regards to my own place on the moon. And if I managed to slice off the wrong tentacle, my friends could get hurtled into the far reaches of space, and I wouldn't even know it. My Guari Kira magic wasn't strained, but there was no way my sloth-like summons could keep up the feat if the ground below the Guardians fell apart. It hit me just as quickly as one of the Shadow Minion's powerful swords. I needed the Arkans to hasten the process and bring my friends to the moon.
"Zan! Sarah! I need you!"
I shouted upward, and after a few seconds, my goddesses appeared in the air above me.
"Griff!"
Zan called down to me as her lunicorn whinnied and flapped its scalloped wings.
"What do you want us to do?"
"How can we be of aid, my love?"
Sarah chimed in.
"How far do you think you can fly your monsters?"
I asked them.
"We don't seem to have any difficulty up here, so I'd venture to guess as long as your Guri Kira's magic can span outwards, we should be fine."
Zan elaborated.
"What do you need us to do?"
"We'll do anything, Master,"
Sarah agreed with her dark-skinned sister.
"I need you to follow some of Azraneath's further-off tentacles and make your way past the moon," I said. "I need you to find my friends and bring them back here immediately. I desperately need their help."
"We'll fetch them,"
Zan assured me. And after she shared a nod with Sarah, the pair took off in the direction we'd started in when we'd first arrived on the moon. While I awaited for the Arkans' return, I turned my attention to my enormous summons. The Broker was wielding its flaming sword with gusto, but Azraneath's tentacles were too strong for the blade to penetrate it. Suddenly, I saw a blade swing at me in my peripherals, but the Shadow Minion's sword was no match for my spacesuit. The monster's weapon grazed my right arm before I could pull it back and dodge, but the metallic skin-tight material was too powerful against the knight's blade.
"Nice try, but no dice,"
I taunted Azraneath's manifestation, and I suddenly heard the demon's growl echo through the clearing.
"Enough of this, Beastmaker!"
it hissed, and the sound made the cliffs and hills around us tremble. The dark red haze that hung above the moon brightened until it was the scarlet shade of a freshly torn wound, and as it enhanced by the second, my eyes widened. The demon's shadow knights began to shout and growl in unison, and the dissonant sound made my ears ring. The other Arkans continued to fight up against them, and in the distance I could see Miralee and her Hisane charging at a group of shadow minions. The jaguar goddess's long raven hair flew behind her, and her lips were curled back to reveal her sharp canine teeth. She looked like a wild warrior queen, and I admired my lover's determination as she plunged right into the fray. Meanwhile, as Renaeth's many eyes blinked rapidly, and the ground shook once more, so strongly I actually stumbled to the ground. I stayed down while the tremors continued, and used this pause in battle to catch my breath. My mana was still going strong, but physically, I was feeling a little drained. I spied a pair of incoming beings in the distance, and relief poured through my entire body and soul when the objects in the sky were revealed to be Zan and Sarah's monsters. I used my Vinghun's vision to look closer at the pair, and when I saw the many familiar figures of my friends and family, my happiness increased tenfold.
Griffy!
Layla's excited shout managed to climb over the sound of the Arkans and the Shadow Minions, and I smiled to myself as the petite mage lifted her arms off the Snapdarner and waved them enthusiastically in the air.
Your backup has arrived!
Layla, I breathed, and moments later, Sarah's dragonfly and Zan's unicorn summons landed delicately on an unoccupied portion of the clearing. The guardians wasted no time in dismounting, and the moment their feet touched the red dirt ground, they rushed over to me with the force of a stampeding herd.
Didn't think you were going to battle this thing all by yourself, did you?
Varlith teased, and the surly gypsy nudged my shoulder with his elbow. I've just been waiting for your asses to show up, I teased the banisher, and then my eyes flickered over to the rest of the guardians. My friends and family looked a little rough around the edges, but their expressions remained hopeful. Thank you for buying me some time. I seriously appreciate it.
We can do the whole thank you thing later,
Ashla said, and she gestured toward the shadowy army beyond us with Bessie too.
What's the game plan, Griff? Who are these ugly things?
Right, I nodded at the Ice Mage, and then I addressed the group. The army is made up of Azraneath's tentacles. The demon used its power to mold his appendages into sentient warriors, and they've been difficult to knock down, to say the least. No matter how many times I've struck them down, more of them have manifested. The only thing that seemed at least halfway effective was the toxins from my Maripor's barbs. But even the effects of that didn't do as much damage as I'd hoped. Now, the Arkans and I have been pushing the army away as much as possible, but I have a two-part plan I need your help with.
What did you have in mind?
Almasi asked as he crossed his arms against his chest. Azraneath amassed an army to keep us busy, I said. I think this entire thing was meant to be a distraction to keep me away from the demon itself. I need to get to its heart.
Do you want us to go after the army while you make your way there?
Nia asked with a determined glint in her eyes, and I watched her pupils pulse in response to her clenched fists at her side. When the elementalist utilized the full scale of her magical ability, the whites of her eyes were eclipsed by the darkness of her pupils, and gave the ashen-haired mage an otherworldly appearance. The magnitude of her elemental magic was immense and intimidating, and I found myself in awe of her abilities.
Yes and no, I answered her when I swiftly refocused. The distraction portion is going to come a little later. First, we need to stop Azraneath from absorbing the energy from our world even further. If you look closely at its movements, you can see the demon feeding even as it continues to strike us with the army.
You want to sever the tentacles that connect the demon to our realm,
Arwen realized.
Indeed, I confirmed,
and my friend's expressions grew wide.
That's a tall order,
Gawain remarked, and his golden eyebrows flew skyward.
Do you think we can do it?
I think if we pull our resources,
We're more than capable, I assured the Fire Mage. That being said, it won't be easy. I can't do this without you. And even if I could, I wouldn't want to. I need my friends by my side.
You've got it,
Brayden assured me, and he clasped my shoulder with his large hand.
We're here for you, my friend.
How would we do this in the first place?
Syra wondered with a slight tilt to her head. We need to summon any monster that has teeth, blades, or any other sharp appendage, I instructed my friends. Those who aren't summoners, I'll need your weapons, elemental magic, whatever. We need to do anything we can to slice off the tentacles.
Challenge accepted,
the curly-haired mage declared, and she placed her hands on her hips.
Should we get back over there?
Absolutely, I agreed. And then I turned my attention back to Syra and Zan. Can you take us to the other side of the moon?
Climb aboard,
Zan nodded. And without hesitation, the Guardians and I mounted their Snapdarner and Lunacorn. The summons beat their respective wings, and we took off into the air like lightning. As the demon thrashed and wailed, we soared over the clearing and past the cliffs and hills surrounding it. Even from our vantage point, Azraneth's immense size was intimidating. But I chose to focus on finding the tentacles that connected the demon to our world below.
There!
Nia pointed. And sure enough, the demon's inky black tentacles weren't far away. The Arcan's summons sped even faster, so Nia lowered her arm and tightened her grip around my waist. The Snapdarner and Lunacorn hovered in place for a moment or two, and then they touched down on the red dirt.
Maika,
Varlith sighed as he dismounted Sarah's dragonfly monster.
I thought those things were impossibly large before, but from here, they look even scarier.
Don't give up now, Varlith, I advised him as I helped Nia to the ground. We can do this, remember?
Of course.
The gypsy collected himself and straightened out his stance. Now, everyone get ready, I instructed. We need to work fast before Azraneth catches on to the plan. I reached into my bandolier, retrieved a pale green crystal, and threw it to the ground. My Kalgori manifested before me, and I ordered my creatures to multiply. The razor-winged butterfly pulsed its wings and cloned themselves until they were hundreds, and then the hundreds turned into thousands. As my enormous herd of monsters fluttered in the air, I reached through the bonds with the Arcans and called out to Viopa. Can you enhance the Kalgori size like you did with my other creatures? I requested.
Of course,
the succubus goddess replied.
Concentrate and focus on channeling my magic through your fingertips, and enhance your monsters as you see fit.
Thank you, I said, and after I took a deep breath, I concentrated on borrowing the Arcan's magic. Then I felt a tug at my mana as the power settled into place. I immediately pointed my hands at the Kalgori, and I imagined the creatures growing larger and their blades even sharper. Sure enough, my summons began to stretch until they were each the same height as me, and while 6 feet wasn't that imposing on its own, thousands of enormous butterflies were a different story.
Whoa!
Layla chirped as her kachem crackled with electricity.
That's incredible!
The Kalgori fluttered their pale green wings, and even I couldn't help but feel intimidated by their huge blades.
This is amazing,
Arwen remarked with an awestruck expression.
Definitely,
Ashla agreed with her, and ice formed over her closed fists.
That demon better look out. We're about to kick some serious ass.
Yeah, we are. I grinned and then inclined my head toward the tentacles. I'm ready whenever you are. The Guardians let out a collective victory cry, and together we descended on the mass of writhing appendages.
Ah!
Nia shouted as she unleashed a wave of fire magic. She and Gawain paired off, and together their inferno made smoke rise from the tentacle. Once I was sure they had things under control, I turned my attention to my enhanced Kalgori. Swarm! I commanded. The Kalgori did as instructed, and their razor-edged wings began to tear and plunge into the demon's tentacles with enthusiasm. It was an impressive sight to behold, and a smile crept up on my face as my summons rapidly attacked the demon.
"Keep going!"
I encouraged my friends as blood began to pool from the tentacles.
"We're almost there!"
My friends, their monsters, my monsters, and I continued to slash, and soon enough, more dark red ooze began to stream out of the surface of the host of tentacles. The surfaces were falling apart, and the wounds were growing deeper and deeper.
"It's working!"
Layla shouted in victory as her Kachem's electricity struck the inky black tentacle.
"It's working!
Keep pushing!"
I called out, and suddenly the elemental storm the mages had started increased in volume and slammed into the ancient being. The tentacles severed, and the demon let out a howl as its winding appendages floated off into space.
"Beastmaker!"
It roared in pain as its blood splashed over us like an enormous tidal wave.
"Aw, did that hurt?"
I taunted as I ducked the influx of viscous liquid. The Arkan swooped us back up immediately, and we avoided another splash of demon blood when we took off into the air. The ancient being continued to growl, and I watched with awe as the tentacles disappeared into the endless abyss of space.
"Hopefully that bought us some time,"
Nia said in my ear.
"It should give Mistral some relief at least."
"Hopefully," I agreed with her. "But that was the easy part. We still have so much to deal with." The conversation halted there, and we remained silent for the duration of the flight back to the clearing. When we touched down on the red dirt ground and dismounted the Arkan's monsters, my head swam with tension as I stared out at our remaining enemies. There were still so many Shadow Knights ahead, and between my friends, the Arkans, and my active summons, my attention was in a million different places. Where was I supposed to go from here? I'd cut the demon off from the planet. I felt a hand on my shoulder, and I looked over to see Freya beside me.
"My husband, you must forge ahead,"
the Hawk Princess urged me.
"Griff, do not worry about us,"
Arwen insisted as she held her sword aloft.
"Focus on the demon. We'll be just fine on our own."
"Listen to her, Griff,"
Nia chimed in.
"We can handle this. Do what you need to defeat Azraneath once and for all."
The rest of my friends nodded in agreement, and when the demon roared again, I chose to listen to them. And my eyes darted over to the mess of tentacles beyond us.
"Everyone stay safe."
"We've got this,"
Nia repeated herself.
"Go, Griff."
I wanted to sweep my wife in my arms and never let go, but time was of the essence. I needed to get back to my opponent, so I inhaled quickly and then turned on my heels and ran down the clearing. As I was absorbed back into the battle site, time passed by like I was slogging through water. I became a machine, and along with my summons, I pushed ahead. My brain turned off completely, and my vision turned red with bloodlust. After a while, I managed to break off from Azraneath's swarm, and as I held my sword out in front of me, my chest heaved as I fought to catch my breath. I took the time to collect myself, and I peered around at the Shadow Knights in front of me. The Arkan's guardians and I were completely surrounded by Azraneath's tentacled manifestations, and while I wasn't ever one to give up, things were feeling a little hopeless.
"Griff, what do we do?"
Keela caught up to me, and her doll-like eyes darted around at our opponents. The skeletal Arkan's cheeks were paler than I'd ever seen them, and they nearly matched the exposed bone of her face. When I registered the hopeless expressions on the goddess's face, my own worries melted away. I had a duty to protect my friends, my family, and my women, and I needed to take charge and lead them to victory. They were counting on me to be the strong leader I knew I could be. So, I had to become just that. I needed to be more than Griff Porter of Njorden Falls. I had to be the Beastmaker. A shadowy figure came in our direction, and I immediately stepped in to defeat Keela from the minion. After I knocked down my opponent, I turned behind me and saw a few of the Arkans squaring off against a crowd of Azraneath's shadow fighters. The monster goddesses and their respective monsters were putting up a good fight. But the demon wasn't fighting fair, and its strength was a lot for us to handle. Even our best efforts weren't enough to stave away the ancient monster's army, and I needed more power than I had at my disposal. Then an idea bloomed in my mind. One so crazy and fantastical, I almost wrote it off. But something in my gut told me to follow through anyway. I deliberated for a moment more, and as I peered out at my friends and lovers locked in battle with the Shadow Army, I decided to put my faith in something others wouldn't dare do. With a wave of my will, I recalled all of my active monsters to their essence crystals, and all 9 of the Arkans to my consciousness. Through my bonds with my creatures, I could feel their collective confusion about why they were being torn away mid-fight, but their puzzlement was nowhere near as intense as that of the Arkans.
"Master, what are you doing?"
Fi demanded.
"Why are you bringing us back?"
"Griff, what's going on?"
Viopa chimed in.
"We were right in the middle of handling those things."
"Master, you cannot pull us from the fight so soon,"
Utuni insisted. "There's a method to all of this, and I need you to trust me," I addressed the monster goddesses as they dissolved into essence. "I'm in need of your magic, as much as you can give me without harming yourselves. All of your power, all of your monster's power. I'm going to need all of it for this to work."
"You're embracing your destiny,"
Zan's honeyed voice mused.
"You've accepted your role in restoring the world."
"I sure hope so," I said. "All I can do is hope my efforts will be enough."
"Do you think you can channel all of that at once?"
Fi asked me in a concerned tone. "I have to believe I can," I replied to the angelic Arkan. "We don't have many other options."
"Our magic is yours, Griff,"
Sarah called out to me.
"Wield it as you wish. You have our love and full support."
"I love you," I whispered. "All of you."
"We love you too, Griff,"
the other Arkans replied in unison, and their declarations of affection spread warmth throughout my entire body.
"Now concentrate, Griff,"
the dark-winged Arkan urged me.
"Imagine our gifts spreading through you, and they shall be yours. Leave the rest to us."
"Okay," I agreed, and with her blessing in mind, I took off into a speed slug-enhanced run to put some distance between Azraneath and me. Once I was sure my friends had themselves under control, I looked to Azraneath. The demon's spindly appendages darted and lashed around like a caged animal, and its erratic movements only encouraged me. "I can do this," I assured myself. Then I slowly closed my eyes and reached through the intricate and many magical bonds that connected me to each and every one of my summons. I sensed a slight tug as my mana joined me with all of my monsters, and yet another when I stemmed out to the Arkans. My body tingled with a mix of adrenaline and power, and for a moment, I was overwhelmed with all of the varied magic of my summons. But I reminded myself I had all of the strength I needed deep within me. I was the Beastmaker, and furthermore, a guardian of Mistral. I could do this. I had to do this. I allowed myself to take in another breath, and then I closed my senses off to all of the sounds, movement, and gruesome sights that surrounded me until all I could feel was my connections with my monsters. First, I replicated the mindset I was in during the battle and took my monsters' magic and abilities within myself. Then I gave in to their magic as if it were originally my own, and my skin began to tingle as my monster's power moved through me. The magic was comforting in a way, and the sensation reminded me of when the Arkans returned to their marks, only more intense. Once the magic of my summons flowed through me like electricity, I tapped into the abilities of the Arkans. I pictured each of the 9 goddesses so clearly in my mind, it was as if they were in front of me, and the mental images of the beautiful beings were accompanied by images of their respective monsters and displays of their magic. I imagined Sarah's portals, Fi's illusions, Miralee's berserker ability, Utuni's blood aura, Viopa's shapeshifting, Zan's resurrection magic, Karth's persuasion, Huna's taming, and Keela's energy ability. And as I went down the line of Arkans, I felt their power course through me. My entire body trembled as the sheer amount of magic and energy surged through me, but the sensation was indescribable. I doubted any other mage in history had ever felt the way I did now, and when I finally managed to settle my movements, I raised my chin in the air. It was time to stop being so afraid of the prophecy. I had to fulfill my destiny. I crossed the clearing with strong, confident strides and made my way over to the demon. Much to my surprise, the tentacled monster's army recoiled as I passed them, which allowed me to approach the demon with ease. Azraneth's many eyes fixed on me, and with every step I took, I sensed my power grow.
"Come to admit defeat, pathetic mortal,"
the ancient being hissed as I stared up its enormous frame. Its tentacles writhed in the air menacingly, but I didn't back down. It was time for this to end.
"I am the Beastmaker," I declared in my most powerful and confident voice. "Our world isn't yours. It's mine. And you've overstayed your welcome, Azraneth."
Before the demon could respond, I inhaled, and on the exhale, I'd expelled all of the magic I'd absorbed from my summons and the Arkans. My entire body cried out as if it had been lit on fire, and a scream rose up from my chest. The surge spilled through every vein, and the white-hot intensity of the beams that shot from my palms nearly tore me apart, but I remained strong. My lower lip trembled, and my entire body heated up so strongly my heart pounded in my ears. The agony of bearing this power was almost too great, but I could feel the demon's power wane.
"No!"
Azraneth howled as I struck it with all of my might, and through the blue-white color of the beams, I could see the ancient being's immense form melting into dark red liquid like a bloody waterfall. As the demon wilted and its blood poured over the russet dirt of the clearing, I finally gave in to it all completely, and I could feel every fiber of my being vibrate painfully. If I was to be torn apart, so be it. The fate of the world depended upon me.
"Goodbye,"
I whispered, and I prayed my friends and family would understand my choice. I needed to leave them a better world, and that wasn't possible until Azraneth was destroyed completely. So, I offered my body as sacrifice, and allowed all of the magic to consume my entire being, body, and soul. The air was instantly knocked out of me, and I felt all of the power blast out of me in one fell swoop as my lungs gasped for oxygen. I was instantly blinded by the bright white light, and my body wilted as I gave up every last drop of life within me. Before my heart stopped beating and the world around me faded to nothingness, I heard a voice in the back of my mind, and it called out to me as musically as a lullaby.
"Beastmaker, breaker of the 12, wielder of the fell and bearer of the 9 marks. In shadow sense, Beastmaker, is shadow's delve. In his ears, all cries of mercy will fall to dust. In his eyes, blood shall paint the streets in rust. Around him, the broken return in kind, yet different still. Monster and man alike will kneel to his power. He shall rule the worlds, rip the skies asunder, and nothing the same will be. Years may pass and years may change, yet prophecies, Beastmaker, shall remain."